Hello and welcome to Horrible Friends. It's a podcast about horror movies in book club format. And starting off, my name is Kyle.
I'm Chris.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Jarvis.
And the way this is going to go is we're going to give you a little history about this here old film. We're going to talk to you about, stuff about the film, a little summary. And then we're going to talk about how we feel about the film. And, we'll leave you out with that. And by the way, the film, it's Lights Out. The only Lights Out from 2016, right?
Actually, no, yeah. Not the only Lights Out from my understanding. No. I think this was adapted from a short that he made and had the same exact name.
Yep. Oh, so this is a long.
This is the long version.
Yeah, okay. This is the long.
The one that everyone was asking for.
Yes.
This is the short, but erect.
Oh, it's a grower.
Yeah. It's grown.
Nice, nice. Well, I mean, seeing as you seem to know all the information about it, hey, Dan, you got any history about this movie?
Seeing as Chris knows all the information, fuck you. Yeah. Hey, Dan. So this is Lights Out from 2016. It was directed and co-wrote by David Sandberg, who's known for doing movies such as Shazam, Annabelle Creation, and Kung Fury. I know some of you have seen Kung Fury.
He did Kung Fury. Wow, okay.
The other co-writer on this is Eric Heisserer. I think it's Heisserer. And he's known he's known for writing things like Bird Box, The New Nightmare on Elm Street, like from 2010. And Final Destination 5. So our 2016 horror movies that this came out alongside, I wrote these down, and I think I used these examples on the last 2016 horror movie that we did, but Shin Godzilla, Terrifier, and The Autopsy of Jane Doe.
Consider Godzilla a horror movie?
I think Shin Godzilla is like considered the most horror-y. I also just simp for Godzilla, so you know.
Oh, fair. Good to know.
All right, today I learned.
Big Daddy step on me. Yep.
Secret Santa is going to get real interesting this year.
Do you think that Bad Dragon has a Godzilla?
don't make me look it up.
Get out of my head.
So the budget for this is $4.9 million. The box office, it made $148.9 million.
Woo!
That PG-13 rating. So the lead actress, our final girl, if you will, is played by Teresa Palmer. Teresa Palmer is known for doing movies like Wolf Creek. She was in Warm Bodies and was also in The Grudge 2, among other things. Our filming location for this is in LA. This also takes place in LA. So, a bunch of different locations. I actually didn't write down all of them because LA be LA in my head. The runtime, as we already said, is about 1 hour and 21 minutes. Nice and short.
Very. And I'm happy. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, same.
Oh my gosh. If it would have been any longer.
Imagine a 3 hour version of this movie.
I got to the one hour mark and I paused it to go get a drink and I was like, oh my God, we still have 30 minutes of it. Okay.
Beforehand, I was like, man, I wonder how well they're going to do like with Smile. You know, it was a short, film and they did a great job making it a like full feature film. Like, man, how are they going to do this? And then as I'm going through it, I'm like, man, I really wished they kind of left it short.
Really? Oh, guys, this is exciting because you know what I'm realizing? This is going to be a Jarvis Dies on a Hill episode. This is going to be awesome.
Amazing.
All right. Hey, we've set the bar.
No, we haven't because we still have our taglines.
Yes. Lower that bar, baby.
So bring that bar down here because I got two for you. First one is, you were right to be afraid of the dark.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
The second one is Darkness Will Consume You.
Don't like that one.
It's too generic.
Yeah, she wasn't really. There's no consuming.
Doesn't make any sense. Yeah, no, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's just murdery shadow lady. That's not consuming.
All right. Well, I'm gonna flicker the lights so Jarvis can replace me. All right. Go ahead.
Lights on.
Smooth.
What a segue.
Today we are covering Lights Out from 2016. I'm pretty excited about this one. I'm a big fan. So let's get ready to die on this hill. So what we're going to do in this one, we're going to give this a spin. We're going to try to sort of separate the movie into three key parts, you know, kind of a beginning, middle, and end. We'll see how this works. We'll see if it fits. And if we like it, maybe we'll keep going this way. So we begin in a textile factory during closing hours. And what soon ensues is what I think is one of the greatest horror movie openers that I've ever seen. I think we would be doing a disservice to the audience and ourselves if we didn't just stop here just to talk about the opening. So let's get into that. I know you guys don't necessarily like this film thus far, just by your early reactions, but what do we think of the beginning?
No, it was probably the most competent portion of this film.
I agree.
It set the grounds for what the monster was, its potential powers, its strength, its abilities. It kind of gave that, like, it was creepy and it did its thing, and then we move on to the next scene. Like, it was good. I think this is a good portion of the film.
I think this is the place where this movie shined, was these, like, playing with the light, and like I think that was, like, cool and creepy in itself, especially for a PG-13 movie where it wasn't overly graphic, but like slightly graphic. Like, they kind of sprinkled it in where you could see things going on,
right?
But they didn't, like, heavily focus on the gore of it. But it still worked very well. In terms of this first scene, though, two things stuck out to me outside of, like, the beauty of the lights and all that. First off, why was the dad leaving the mom alone with the son if he didn't trust her to begin with? Second, he was like, oh, I'm going to get her help. I'm going to get her help. Just stay there with her for a little while longer. Like, clearly there's something going on. He doesn't trust her there. Second thing is, there was a bobblehead in his office.
Yes.
Of the screeching lady that was also the poster on the girl's wall there. And I don't know why we never came back to that, and that upset me to my core.
You know what's fun is that this movie was produced by James Wan, and we know that he likes to leave his little, you know, Easter eggs. And so I'm wondering if that was one of his, you know what I mean?
That makes more sense.
That's a good point.
Because, yeah, the bobblehead was right on the nose. It looks just like her. And I mean, given that Rebecca, like, I guess she's like a graphic artist that kind of like did a lot of her designs based around the shadow lady who will come to know as Diana. Like, maybe that was one of hers. I don't know.
That's a good point. I didn't think of it like that.
But to your first point, I mean, the guy's still got to go to work. I mean, yeah, his wife might be whacked out, but I mean, he's still got to go make money, I guess.
Yeah, but the way he was talking about, you know, trying to help mom and whatnot, and trying to you know, fix her and stuff like that, I thought he was like a scientist, because for a long time they don't tell you what he does. It's like, I gotta stay here. I'm gonna fix your mom. Yeah. Don't worry. And then it's like, I have to go put another load of laundry in. I'll be right back.
To my industrial size washing machine.
Correct.
Yeah. His character was a little all over the place. But what I liked, like, early on, because I mean, they get right into the action, but like a lot of directors like play well with negative space. What's fun about this movie is like everything is negative space as soon as the lights come off. Or turn on, you know, you're like looking right at the monster and you know it's there, but it's gone. And then it kind of plays with like the encroaching and everything. It's so simple, but it works so well.
Yep, agreed.
Yeah, I think the one thing that is going to show moving forward in this movie is that they had some money, and I feel like a lot of it was used just in this opening scene, because the remainder of the filming locations are kind of cramped, and I mean, kind of, it's what they're supposed to do. I don't know. I wasn't a fan of. I think that would have helped out a lot if they had more interesting locations, in my mind. but I digress.
Interesting. Yes. Okay, well,
I mean, I would say that also comes down to the fact that they were filming it in LA, and I'm sure that's not cheap.
So what, like, what are you looking for, Kyle? Do you want this to take place in like a vegan coffee slash banana refinery?
Yeah,
I want it to be. Or? I want it to be more realistic. Yes, I want it inside of a vegan coffee thing. And you know, going on to our running gag of, so she's a, would you say she was a graphic designer at some point?
I think Rebecca. That's what she'd. Oh, who?
What was it, Rebecca? Rebecca. No, mom. Mom,
who's
mom?
I don't know what the hell mom does.
Right. Well, that's
mom talks
that's
in a, shadow.
Yeah.
That is a. I mean, get when we get there, that's a lot of house in LA for for one person to have. But either way, what I wanted, honestly, like thinking back on it, is the opening scene is interesting because the location is interesting. He's got downward facing lights that are. You know, they're spotlights effectively. So every time he steps in between, it's interesting. It would be cool to, you know, at a different, maybe a different factory or something with playing with the lights, places that have interesting, like a rave or something would have been really wild or something like that. Every time a strobe light hits, she pops up, you know what I mean? Like,
okay.
It got a little boring just being in a house later on. That's all.
That's a good point.
Or in an apartment and then a house.
I'm glad you talked about the lights in the factory because, like, looking at that, wasn't that like an OSHA nightmare of epic proportions? I mean,
yes.
Oh, absolutely.
They go off after like 2 minutes, and that factory is the worst lit place I've ever seen.
I didn't understand why there wasn't just a light switch like near his office. If he's clearly like the owner or like one of the managers there, wouldn't there just be a light switch right there next to his office so he could turn it on when he gets in? Or
Because the script says no.
That's kind of where it felt like we were at.
Nah, man, that guy's pinching pennies. You see that house in L.A.? No. Well, this character was Paul, and after his gruesome death, his son, Martin, witnesses his mother, who is Sophie, talking to someone in the dark. Martin begins to have trouble staying awake at school, and his half-sister, Rebecca, is called, along with her screamo-chad-looking boyfriend, Brett. Martin tells his sister that their mother has been talking to a woman named Diana. Rebecca assures him that Diana is not real, but recalls memories of Diana in her own childhood. After confronting their mother, Rebecca takes Martin to her apartment, where that night she is awoken in the dark by Diana. Having narrowly escaped an attack, the next morning Rebecca notices that the name Diana has been scratched into the floor. A childhood flashback of a drawing confirms that Diana is real.
All right. I have a lot of problems with, like, I think my main issue with this movie, and like this is kind of where it started, was the character development.
Talk to me.
We started with a really piss poor character in the dad, and I was very happy when I realized that he's not going to be our focal point on this.
He's just like the fodder for the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, he's quick
father. It's oh, father.
it was more like a farter, if you will. but like we get the son who's just not showing any sort of emotion about his father dying, like throughout the movie, and this really carries on like to the end, which I'll bring up when we get there. But I don't know. It just seems like there's an emotional disconnect between these characters. Even looking at the family photo that they show two times, one in his office and one on like a fire.
The mantle place, yeah.
Yeah, the fire mantle place. Like they look.
One of them's
so
his obituary.
Yeah. It's framed.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, can you believe that they had that before he died? Like, that's the weird thing.
That was so weird, right?
Like, these interactions between people who are supposed to love each other, it just feels so inauthentic. And I just, it inhibits me from, you know, really, like, connecting with the characters and getting invested in this. Like, I'm just kind of like, all right, well, I guess the next thing happened. Okay, the next thing happened. It really like took me out of the movie a lot.
Do you feel that same way towards the relationship between Rebecca and who I call Screamo Chad, aka Brett?
Okay. I hated Brett until the end of the movie. And then I realized that Brett is the best character in this whole movie. Brett is amazing. I love Brett.
Okay.
Like, his character doesn't make any sense, where he's like, at first I'm like, okay, he's just this guy trying to like get with her. He's like trying to show her that he loves her. Like, he's just like this dopey guy who's like trying to look like he's from the 90s with a grunge haircut and everything. And then like he comes at her in one scene where he's like, are you just trying to help him or hurt your mom? And I'm like, do you even know her relationship with her mom? What are you saying? And then there's another scene later where they're about to explain huge plot points, and he just goes to the fridge and sees that they have maraschino cherries in there, and that's it. And he's like, we really need some groceries. I'm going to go get some groceries. And like, they just shove him out the door for the plot points. And I'm like, okay, we just wrote him right out of this scene, huh?
Well, I mean, what are you going to do with those cherries if you don't have like some ice cream for it?
Agreed.
Well, you can make the maraschino cherry mustard sandwich that is apparently all they're going to have.
Because, there is no bread, but you can hold them in between your hands and slurp them out and pretend.
There's also just a lot of like weird illogical things. Like, they called child services because he fell asleep in class three times. Dear God, if that happened to me when my kids fell asleep in class, like,
my God,
I wouldn't have any kids in class. Yeah.
Like,
the amount of phone calls my family would have gotten for the like amount of sleeping I did in school.
That just doesn't happen. And then it was like turning into a Big Daddy movie where the child services person was coming up to him being like, you can't take them as your own kid, but I didn't see anything. And then she disappears. I don't even know what happened to that storyline.
Yeah, that plot point just dies. Yeah,
It does. It does.
It was just very weird, like sloppy. I don't know. I don't want to get too ahead of myself. I'm going to stop talking now.
Do you think this is just like based around a neighborhood that is functional and cares about its children? And we were not raised that way.
That's a good point. I did find Becca's relationship to be pretty transparent. It was they wanted daddy problems girl with guy who's just trying to get close to her, and she can't have that. She can't have anyone getting close because then they might leave her by dying. Like, that's not the whatever. I'm not disqualifying her existence, but I will say it was written like I was in like ninth grade writing out a character who had daddy problems. That's all. It was a little light.
I'm surprised, Dan, that you haven't brought up the fact, like, what I thought that you would like is that Brett's character is kind of how most horror females are shown, and that they're ancillary and they're pretty much useless. You know, they just kind of like fill scenes. That's what I got from Brett.
That actually was like what I had there. I wrote down, this guy is so pointless and he will probably die. That was literally what I wrote down.
Okay. Right. Yeah.
So yeah, you're right. It was an interesting like little reversal there, because he was the most pointless.
Sure. Yeah. Do you guys? So I mean, his whole storyline is he's trying to like move in a little bit. Do you guys have any fun move in stories from your significant others?
Yeah, I left a sock in their drawer once, and they got really mad.
So weird.
No, I don't think so. Well, I mean, is it funny to say that around, and I mean within the first like month or two of Mawa moving in with me before obviously we were married, I did have my first and like biggest panic attack I've ever had. I don't know. Is that funny? Is that like, does that sound
hilarious?
I like it.
Did you have to go to the hospital?
I did.
Did you feel like you were gonna die?
I didn't acknowledge it at the time, but at some point, like you know, later on in my existence, my therapist was like, "You think that might have been it?" And I was like, "No." And she was like, "You think that might have been it?" I was like, "Yeah."
I love that. Yeah, it's fucking awesome. So, moving on to Act Two, which I kind of think is the discovery phase. Rebecca finds a box of old medical records and research in Paul's office. His findings reveal that their mother was admitted to a mental hospital as a child. While there, she befriended a young patient named Diana who suffered from a severe skin condition. It was believed that she was evil and was able to get into people's heads. Diana was accidentally killed during an experimental surgery on her under intense light. Sophie decides to allow Martin to meet Diana after turning the light off. However, Martin is frightened by Diana and runs away from them back to Rebecca's place. Rebecca, Brett, and Martin stage an intervention with Sophie about their mother, no longer letting Diana haunt them. Sophie, though irritated, secretly slips Rebecca a note that reads, "I need help."
I had no idea where this was filmed, but immediately knew it was not in New Jersey and it had to be on the West Coast because of that shit tier looking pizza that they were eating.
Oh yeah, that was pretty very low tier. I did think it was like a freezer pizza though.
I didn't catch it. Yeah, I didn't even notice.
It was like Elio's, but worse somehow. Like, I don't know how you do that, but like.
I love hearing another human person say the word Elio's because I bring that up to anyone who will listen and they're like, we have no idea what you're fucking talking about. And that's what I was raised on.
Exactly. The square, yeah, the square freezer pizza, dude. And so you know what's good. Funny is it is, I think, like a very Northeast Coast thing because there was a Elio's factory right where we used to live. So
no shit.
Yeah. I love Elio's.
They're so good, right?
I mean, they're not, but I loved them. I did love them.
The nostalgia's delicious.
I've had it more recently. It hasn't gotten better. Don't even try. It's just good. No.
Tiff and I did that.
Back. I'm running to the store.
What's so funny is I didn't even notice the pizza because like my kids eat nothing but like garbage freezer pizza. So that's just like what my mind goes to as like normal. Like that's my baseline for normality.
I'm so sorry.
No, kids eat trash, man. That's all they like. It's insane.
Does that make me trash? I like garbage. Any pizza. It's
no, it just
fine.
Makes you a child, which.
Oh, yeah that's true.
So I want to ask anybody else. Did anybody else by this point? I would say it's the second act that I realized it. Just kill your mom and then Diana's gonna die, right? Anybody else like just like come to that conclusion?
Yeah, maybe accidentally, you know, push it down the stairs or something.
Yeah, just like
I didn't.
Mom, can you hold these three heavy boxes right in front of the stairs for a second, please?
Why the fuck? Why the fuck was she tethered to Sophie in the first place? I don't get.
You know, that's a good question.
Doesn't make any
because
fucking
that's how
sense.
I wrote it in the script.
So the movie could happen.
Yeah.
The only thing I thought of was, you know, just give her, like, force her to take her meds. Why is that difficult? Apparently that worked for a long time. So just do it again.
And also, can we mention how the, you know, the crazy bright light experiment?
Oh, yeah.
Disintegrated like an entire human being.
Let's get the fuck into that. What was this light therapy Captain America-esque experiment they were going for? They were like, I really wish I could have directed that scene where they do the recording. I'd have been like, the patient appears to be allergic to light. We will now attempt to cure her by hurling her into the sun. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I saw that it was like in that newspaper article very quickly. It's like new light therapy kills patient. I'm like, was it going to be a better? Like, were they going to try this for other stuff, I guess?
I was just like, man, that had to be at least like 4 or 5 like 60 watt bulbs.
Yeah, and and definitely not like the LED bulbs. They got to be
I was going to say it's got to be LED, right? Where it says like it equals a 60 watt, but it's actually only 5 watt. It'll save you electricity
and make you disintegrate into a shadowy demon.
Old timey medicine is never not funny. Like, I submit.
Yeah, before like, oh man, this person's crazy and having issues. I'm going to take this metal rod and just ding it into their brain. That ought to help them.
Hey, look, that fixed them. They're not raving anymore. They aren't doing anything, but they're not raving
They're
anymore.
Sitting there and just drooling on themselves, but hey.
We do get a really good expo dump here with, like, the box O evidence, you know, from the beginning, like Paul was using, which was confusing at first because it's like, you're a textile manager, but you're a detective? Like, I don't know. But it really was, like, a huge expo dump with perfectly specific audio recordings. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. It,
do we
it
like it? Like, do we hate it?
I thought it was a little ham-fisted, I think would be the terminology.
Yeah.
wasn't good. That's where Brett got sent to the grocery store and he never came back with those groceries.
No, he did not. On the way, he was just like, you know, they've never had one of my maraschino and mustard hand sandwiches. I'm going to treat them tonight.
Let me get another
use my
pizza.
Own hands.
Yeah. Yeah, no, so, like, her character, though, I mean, this is where we get, like, the big exposition, and we learn kind of all about her, you know, so she had, like, that, you know, crazy skin condition, and she was, like, a telepath, I guess? But, so she's, like, a bruja? La Blanca Bruja? Like, she's got a lot of things going on, man.
So, is that canon? Like, she had powers? Question mark?
So, it was said that she was able to get into people's minds because her dad killed herself because he said she was in his head. And I mean, given the ending.
All I know is that she must have been an electrician by the amount of times that she fucked with the electricity in all the places. She went to. Like,
oh, yeah, she was really good. Did she go to night school?
Yeah. She had to.
Electrical engineering night
she
school.
Went to vocational school. Mm-hmm.
She couldn't go during the day, so yeah, I guess.
Yeah. It just sucks that, like, you know, she turned into charcoal before Professor Xavier could show up and take her to a school for the gifted.
I mean, I love the recordings. Like, I expected the info dump of the guy just like, we had a patient, which was, you know, again, not great, but I could expect that. But then it was like, oh, there she is right now. Come on in, set her down. And then he's like, how you doing today? She's like, I'm going to eat your soul. And he's like, well, there's nothing wrong here. So right, let's
we're
just
going to mark it down that this is a bad day.
Can you not do that next
it's
time?
It's a bad day today.
Diana, are we having a bad day? Someone's going to get a frowny face.
Your mother sucks dick in hell.
Yeah,
damn
it. Right. Some of the fucking evil deadlines, like, come down here so I can suck your cock, pretty boy. All right, so it's been a rough day.
So it's kind of an in-between day, huh? Like,
yeah, been in between. You didn't get your maraschino cherry and mustard sandwich this afternoon, did you?
Clearly not. That would brighten anyone's day.
Yeah. Well, they tried to brighten her day, but look what happened.
Nice.
I mean, the experiment part is so fucking good, but I don't know if I like Sophie trying to introduce Martin to Diana better, because, like, she subtly hints at it. You know, she's like, hey, we haven't been connecting. I'm sorry for everything. Let's have a quality movie night, just the three of us. And he's like, all right, that's fucked up, but I'm going to let that one slide. And they start watching the movie. And then it's like, she starts like, hey, I'm going to introduce you to someone. It's going to be totally fine. It was like weird. It was like weird dialogue. You know, it was like you're introducing your partner to, like, your threesome, like, fantasy. You know what I mean? It was
and the person who's the threesome is definitely like a furry, and that's where you're it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah, you no, see, it's like it's
you're completely safe. It's okay. I just want to introduce you to this person.
She's like, hey, I have someone you gotta meet. It's gonna be okay. And then I walk in like eating his fruit snacks. Like, hey, your mom and I are gonna be spending a lot of time together now that Paul's gone.
Uh-huh. You got a Capri Suns.
Dad?
Oh my god.
Yeah, no, that was pretty silly. And then it, like, quickly just you know, escalates. It's like, no, don't turn the light on. You turn the light on. Now she's going to punch me. Now she punched me. And then, no, I don't know.
This was another confusing thing for me where it's like, I don't know why the spirit was haunting the kids when they left the house. Because clearly the spirit just wanted her to guard her so that she's like.
Because I wrote the script that way.
She knows that they're after her.
Yes.
But first they weren't.
That's why she took out Paul.
At first they were just like, oh, we got to get out of here. And then she's like, you better not come back here. And they were like, oh, we should go back there. That's bad.
Going back to that, like, introducing the new stepdad joke that we did, the scene where...
that I painted for you?
Yes. The scene with the little boy as he runs away from mom's bedroom and, like, the door slowly closing and... the monster's right behind the mom. Like, hey, it's me. I'm about to bone your mom.
That brings up another interesting point that I think Dan brought up before we started recording. Is it too much to just believe that this is all like Sophie being altruistic and, you know, like, I guess, empathetic of Diana? Or is there like another element to this?
Are you saying that she might have been in love?
I'm saying I'm not above thinking that there was like some otherworldly like shadow scissoring going on. That's all I'm saying.
From the first 20 minutes, I wanted it to just be a love movie after, like, where she's just talking to the shadow in the closet. It's like,
oh, will they, won't they?
Okay. It turns out so.
Sitting on a paddle boat at night.
Yeah. I'm making pottery in the basement. Yeah.
Are we just going to make the plot of Ghost now?
Uh-huh, correct.
It Wait, works. I don't remember what song they sing. Fuck.
You know, I'd love this movie if it was like a little bit different and like Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore. It wasn't that.
I can't remember
what song it was. Oh, wait, isn't that The Bodyguard? Yeah, that's The Bodyguard.
I don't know. I truly have no idea where we're going with this.
No.
I don't know. Now I'm just looking up.
Anyway.
I got the song called Unchained Melody from the movie Ghost.
Yeah,
by the Righteous
Hell
Brothers.
Fucking yes, Swish, The Bodyguard. I knew that.
What is The Bodyguard? That's the name of the song?
It's a movie.
Oh, okay.
And that's like the song from it, is I Will Always Love You.
Breathtaking.
Anyway.
Truly breathtaking.
Wait, now return you.
Just to end act two, I just love that this all culminates, like, their big plan is to go over there and like have a cooperative dinner with Sophie, like, hey, your shadow monster has affected us in the following ways. We're here to talk to you about it.
They're all sitting around just like, nobody wants to start. They're just like, uh-huh, yeah, this is pizza, maybe, by definition.
It is square. It is from the Northeast.
Well, I like how they were like, Mom, we need to talk about Sophie. And then she's like, let me get the bad pizza. So they start eating the bad pizza. And then she's sitting there and then they're like, all right, well, it's very bad for us. And she's like, I'm completely blindsided by this. What are you talking about?
How like, dare you?
Yeah.
Wait, why did they decide to watch Aunt Mammy as their movie? Like, why was that?
Was that the movie?
Yeah, why because was Aunt Mammy the movie that they decided?
The literal line in that movie was, there's too much light in that window, you can't see anything, and that was it. They needed a movie with a word that said light in it.
I wanted to look up what the synopsis was and like see if there was another connection where it'd be like cool. It says an orphan goes to live with his free-spirited aunt. Conflict ensues when the
executor it's the same movie
of his father's estate objects to the aunt's lifestyle.
Same exact movie. Yep, you solved it.
Yep.
solved it. I think, I think we did kind of target that idea before of like watching old-timey movies, and I think we landed on it has something to do with like it's cheaper to do it that way, right?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That makes sense.
They're not going to watch Avengers Endgame, you know?
But like, fair. You know, you could watch like, I don't know, like some movie that people know, like... I don't fucking know.
Skyfall. They just throw on
clearly,
Skyfall.
Clearly, I know all the old movies. Look at me listing them right now.
Casino Royale. They're just like, I love this movie. What do you want?
Just Daniel Craig walking out of the water in a swimsuit in the background during this moment.
Would it have been weird if they were watching like The Color Purple? And she's like, on the topic of sisterly love, I have someone you need to meet.
Jesus Christ.
Black Swan.
Oh no, we went the other way.
What about just like Martyrs? Just like the really fucked up scenes. Yeah. Just like, played, and it's just like, anyway, I gotta introduce you to someone.
This reminds me.
why couldn't it have been what was the Kung Fu movie?
Kung Fury.
That
was
is
it Kung
true.
Fury?
Holy shit, that would have
been Kung Fury.
How amazing would that have been?
It would have made this movie 10 times better.
So we begin Act 3, the crescendo. The group rigs the house to be as brightly lit as possible to avoid Diana's attacks, but this ultimately proves useless when Diana cuts the power. Rebecca and Martin are trapped in the basement, and Diana attempts to kill Brett, who, while injured, escapes. In the basement, Martin and Rebecca find a blacklight, which allows them to clearly see Diana, but does not harm her. Brett returns with two police officers who free Martin and Rebecca from the basement, but Diana kills them both soon after. Rebecca and Martin escape the house, but Rebecca goes back for her mother, and in the ensuing struggle, Diana tells Rebecca that she killed her father years ago, just like she did Paul. And as Diana prepares to kill her, Sophie appears with a gun and kills herself to remove the tether of Diana to the natural world, and she fades into shadow.
So what did you guys think that Brett was doing when he drove away?
Running to get the groceries off.
Elias,
that is exactly what I said. I was like, that man said, shit, the groceries!
I forgot!
Shit!
Yeah, how did we feel? I liked the special effect. Again, they used it well, and it could have been used like 100 other times better, but the gun's muzzle flash, like the pistol's muzzle flash, was like,
yeah, how it she disappears.
Yes, I thought that was very good.
Very cool.
Give them credit on that. Yes, they at least they did a good job at keeping the fiction going. Like the powers were fairly simple, but at least they kept it going. They didn't like oops and yeah. I mean, yeah, the black light was interesting.
The monster was super cool. I liked the monster a lot. I thought it was simple but satisfying.
My question is if the same scenario happened, but with like a belt fed, you know, like 240 Bravo. Like if I could just continuously shoot and create muzzle flash, like, could I just prolong her slicing my head off?
Maybe.
Maybe. I mean, those cops were willing to just shoot into a house without knowing where everybody was. So right, like, that's right. Totally.
They never once asked, is anyone else in the house?
just, so I started blasting.
I also thought it was funny when the mom shot, because the mom was like, her daughter was right next to her. It was just like, don't worry, it's I so got close.
I thought it was going to turn. They could have turned at that point, accidentally shot her, and then it's like, well, I only got one more. And then, I don't know, they could have made it really dark, but they didn't. They just went with the, I'll kill myself. It's not dark.
Fucking lame. Lame, Sophie. It's not okay. I do like when they go in the basement, and I guess that's kind of like Diana's lair, and she's had clearly nothing to do but brood cryptically on this basement wall with all of her fluorescent paints. I do want to play, is it semen? Because I didn't see any paints.
What else could Diane possibly be rubbing her hand in right now to make these?
Yeah, it only shows up under blacklight, man. I'm just saying.
I gotta say, well, I didn't really like how the blacklight showed her. I thought that was kind of like weird. Like, we've established up to this point, the rules of the movie is that if you are in light, then you can't see her. Like, that seemed like kind of stupid. I was like, but wait, now you're going against your rule. I understand that they were making a caveat for the rule and saying like, well, it's a black light.
Right, right.
But it just, I don't know. It felt kind of cheesy and kind of stupid to do that. Yeah, she was already super powerful. Just like, let her be super powerful.
Right. Apparently she can also interact with the lights as long as she's not in them directly. So she can just break them. Okay,
I made a joke about her being an electrician, but yeah, that really bothered me. Mm. I was like, so that means that literally none of the rules matter because she can just fuck with the lights and just continue on. Like the lights don't even matter. I didn't like that either.
I love that Halloween decor saved the day. That's what I love.
Which decor? Which piece?
That's where they found the black light. In like the Halloween decoration
box. The skulls and everything. Yeah. I was like, oh, cool. They got a box of skulls.
That was the brightest UV light I've ever seen.
You know what wasn't in the Halloween box? Like an old-timey glass lantern, because it would have never been more practical in this day and age. Correct. Because Martin's trying to like escape upstairs with a candle, and he's like, Jesus, fuck, fuck, fuck. He's like getting dragged up the stairs, like trying to keep the flame lit. He's like, oh, fuck, 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 fuck.
I did like that. I liked that they could get attacked from behind. I was like, that's a really cool way to use like the space behind them as like still not safe because they're not illuminated completely. I thought that was very cool. and added an extra layer of suspense whenever they're walking through the house.
It's simple fears that they target, you know, like turning around and having to run from something behind you can't see, you know, running down or upstairs. Like, it's simple stuff, but like, I think it works.
And to go back to Brett for two more points that I just thought was very fun. I loved Brett. Brett was great at the end, by the end of this movie. One was when he was running away and he's about to go under that little awning thing that's completely dark. You know that all of you in your heads went, don't go in there. That's going to be bad. And immediately he just gets thrown in the air. And then the other thing is, like, at the very end, I didn't really like this from a story standpoint because it felt like corny in 90s and early 2000s-esque. But where Brett, like, puts his hands around, his arms around them. The kid's still not upset that his mom just killed herself. Weird. I digress.
It was giving Mimic. It was giving Mimic vibes. End of Mimic.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, where now he is the bad guy, yeah. The kid.
No. Like, it's just like, this is the new familial unit. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. But like, he's like, I got you. And I was like, oh, now they're a family. Isn't that sweet? Like,
yeah, it was a little insufferable there at the end.
It's a little gross.
I felt cheated that Brett didn't die. Anyone else? I was disappointed.
Yes. Also felt very cheated.
Yeah, because the dad number two, who dies in the factory, he walked once and she like tore his leg up.
Right.
Like, so she obviously super powerful, could just like chop a leg off almost. And Brett gets tossed around, launched into outer space effectively, and then kind of just leaves. He's like, bye. Gotta get those groceries.
I gotta head back to the store.
Yeah,
I gotta get the Elios, oh God.
I think I just wanted one more satisfying death that would have like impacted the story a little bit. Like, because the cops were nothing kills. They were fun, but they weren't, like, really interesting or meaningful to the story. But if, like, the CPS lady got murdered, then it's like, oh, okay, there's going to be follow-on repercussions here. You know what I mean? Like, it was just kind of a... I don't know. I could have used one more gory death, and that's what I was hoping from Brett.
Oh, yeah, the CPS lady would have been good. Imagine she comes in and she's just like, she's yelling at Diana, like, you can't do this. It's not how CPS works. You've got to leave. Just scolds her for it.
And Rebecca just shuts the lights off. But that's Lights Out.
Yeah, that was Lights Out. And I think, you know what? Let's just get into it a little bit. Let's go to our patented spoopometer. Dan, how are we grading this movie?
Man, I got it, but like, I didn't know what to say. So I'm going to say that on average, you know, we spend like probably $150 on groceries every trip, so I don't know, 0 to 150.
I was hoping it was gonna be grocery.
I thought it was gonna be like, if this circuit has this many watts and ohms.
that was
my second guess. Well,
I did look that up, but then I was like, oh, electricians, because this bitch is an electrician. And then I was like, we didn't really talk a lot about that, so I just need something else.
But
this
movie's not interesting.
I disagree, but okay. Groceries.
Groceries. Wait, hang on. I got it. Hang on. Give me one second.
I like when we do a spoopy meter in real time. This is good.
I got it.
I like this.
Okay. So if you go to Target, Eric, do you have Targets down there?
We do. This isn't the moon. It's Florida.
It's about the same, though.
I don't know. Florida's weird, man. I don't know.
Florida is weird. I'll give you that. All right. But we do have Target.
Well, if you go to Target for 9 slices of Elio's cheese pizza, I'm going to run you. We'll round it up from $3.99 to $4. So 0 to 4.
All that for a 1 out of 4. that for 1 out of 4.
Oh, that was goodness.
Great. I love it.
All right. So I've said my grievances about this film. All the grievances aside, the beginning of the movie had some really good creepy tones, and just sticking with how spoopy it was, that I'm going to go one slice of Elios. It was never enough, but I'm thinking I'm going to stick with it. One slice.
I'm going to give it about a... Wait, was it 0 to 4 slices or $0 to $4?
But let's just do zero to nine slices, because there's no...
We're doing 0 to 4. Nope.
All right, you know, $1. Multiply 4 by 5.
Bob, Bob, I'm gonna guess $1. $1.
It's a 1 out of 4, Chris.
Right, now it's the price. Now it's the Price is Right.
Yeah. I'm gonna go with... I'm actually giving it like 2 out of 4. I do agree with Kyle, like the opening scene had a lot of spooky elements, and I did enjoy that. And I think overall, like the idea of this kind of like darkness demon, you know, only being seen, you know, with light switches and stuff, I like it. I just don't think, I think it could have been executed better. And just the story around it, I just didn't really care for it. And just the fact that it was this little girl in a mental hospital. And, you know, so to try and heal her, we, you know, start flipping the light switch constantly. And then she turned into charcoal. But awesome. Compared to the, like, compared to the short story, like I did watch like the short story version, like the short film. And that definitely scared me more than this. But, yeah, it's not the worst thing I've ever seen, but it wasn't great. 2 out of 4.
I'm going to be strategic and Price is Right rules. I'm going to go 199. This movie...
You son of a bitch.
If, not 201?
You know what? I'll go 201. I'm going to go
201. Die, you son of a bitch.
I mean, that's Price is Right strategy.
All right. I don't want Price is Right. I don't know. Sorry. So we'll go 201. I think this movie could have been good if it would have like invested in its characters a little bit more, but I think it had some good spooks and it was okay. It was okay, but you know, definitely a shallow movie.
I love this film. I actually do. Like, absolutely genuine. And I think it's because it is pretty shallow, right, in the plot. It's just scary. Because I remember watching this, and this is one of like very few films that I almost hesitate, strictly because like I think the character of Diana is scary. Like, it's a very menacing, very it's a scary character. I enjoy it. I like that the scares were kind of right in your face, but you couldn't see them. The playing with negative space, the playing with distance. I truly felt scared the first time watching it, and since that time I enjoy watching it, you know, because it actually gives me kind of that sensation that I'm looking for in a scary movie. So I truly do enjoy it. I didn't give a fuck about whether or not I wanted Rebecca and Brett to, you know, move away and buy a timeshare together. I could give a fuck about that. I'm just happy that there was a movie that actually like kind of gave me goosebumps. So I will go $3.50. Pretty close. But I would ask before we kind of end it here, did you guys find it scary?
Like I said, the beginning of the movie, that the first 5 to 10 minutes of this movie has scare factor in it. I think it is creepy before you really get to learn what the monster is, and it is creepy even when you very quickly learn what the monster is. But going beyond it, I think the layers of the story were just, they tried to make things relatable, and then it like failed pretty hard.
I just go with that is it was creepy, more creepy than scary.
Okay,
I agree with that. I agree 100% with Chris. I think it was more creepy than scary. But I liked what they did in terms of the horror aspects of it, especially for a PG-13 movie. I thought that
Oh yeah, I agree.
Agreed.
For PG-13, this was good.
Yes. What about you? I mean, I guess you, like you said, you are kind of afraid, or you were kind of spooked by it, Jarvis. Like you still, if this is obviously not your first time watching it, so like, were you still spooked by it this runaround? Or
it still does it for me, you know? Like nice. Like I said, you know, it's not as scary as the first time watching it, but like before I put it on, I was like almost hesitating a little bit because I was like, fuck, man, I remember this. This movie really got me at certain points. So, you know, I'm just looking for that roller coaster thrill in a lot of movies, and I don't get it often. And this one kind of still does it.
Yeah, I think one final, like, minor negative that probably leads to a lot of the spooks is that it's loud. It's a very loud movie at times, like, obscenely loud. It just does that, like, big boom scare. I had headphones on, so maybe that was it. But, yeah, I could see it being extra scary, especially in the theaters and stuff. I don't know. Are we good? Is that it? Did we do it?
I think we got it.
Cool. And I guess it's time to turn the lights out on this one, guys. We're going to go ahead and, you know, thank all of you for listening. Thank you for supporting us and doing the thing. Follow us on all of our social media things. I want to thank Andrew Cavanaugh for our music and Connor McLeod for our artwork. And yeah, Chris, if you had to tell big old spoopy depression demon to do something, what would you like to tell them?
Thanks for stopping by and having a horrible time.